Assalamu alaikum and peace be with you. Welcome to this episode in the series on the use, misuse and abuse of jihad in Islam. We'll be looking at an Islamic textual and historical analysis of contentions and misconceptions regarding the concept of jihad, the Islamic law of war and peace, and the spread of Islam. I am your host, Muhammad Nuruddin Lemu, and with me to discuss the episode today are two of our distinguished fellows and trainers with the Da'awah Institute, Brother Ibrahim Bello and Sister Salatu Suleh. You are both most welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Looking at previous episodes, we discussed the meaning of the term jihad in Arabic, and there we concluded that the word has many meanings, and the context would determine what exactly it means. But its original meaning is to strive, to exert effort, to exert oneself, to, you know, to do your best, to strive, probably best, in various fields. When we looked at the Quran, we found both in Meccan verses and Medinan verses, verses in which there was no, you know, the context had nothing to do with warfare, the word jihad being used in the Quran to have multiple meanings, and the context probably best helps you know what does it mean in this context. And the same thing we saw in the hadith literature, telling the truth to a tyrannical ruler, self-improvement, fighting a just cause, different serving parents, all described as jihad. When, however, we look at the works of Muslim jurists and the books of law or the books of fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence, we find the term jihad being given a so-called technical meaning or being given a very restrictive meaning to just war or fighting, warfare. And in the books of Islamic jurisprudence and the books of fiqh, when you look at the book on jihad, it's really focusing on the law of war. How did it come to get, and why does it have that restrictive meaning when it is in the hands of jurists? Citizen.
Okay, when we consider the various forms of jihad, whether it's the forms of jihad that have to do with education or with social life or welfare or justice and so on, we come to understand that when you're talking about striving in a military sense, this is now a matter of life and death. Once you talk about war, you talk about life and death. So naturally, it was necessary and is still necessary that a lot of attention should be paid to the rules surrounding warfare and the juristic positions that arise from that. So when the jurists paid a lot of attention to that, and you see that kind of attention given in juristic books or treatises, naturally people then focus a lot on that form or that meaning of jihad. And as you mentioned, because that section is usually titled jihad, that's a section dealing with Islamic rules of warfare, then people began to assume the lesson formed that once you say jihad, you're talking about war. It's important to note that even those jurists who derived the ruling, to discuss the rulings of warfare in Islam or what's Islamically compliant, even they acknowledge the other forms of jihad besides military striving or struggle. They acknowledge it. They not only acknowledge it, they know and they acknowledge that these are legitimate forms of jihad. The fact that they spend a lot of I would say juristic effort and attention on the military form doesn't mean that they are denying or disregarding or devaluing or belittling all the other forms of jihad, including the form which is said to be the highest form, that's jihad bin nafs, striving against oneself.
Brother Ibrahim.
Alhamdulillah, just like you mentioned, it's true that jurists are more concerned about the technical side of jihad, and because life is at stake. But then, looking back to Quran, it is very rare to find a verse where jihad only connotes fighting. Of course, there are verses that relate to rulings of warfare in Quran, but Allah would rather prefer using al-harb or qital. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَزِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُونَ. It sounds as very specific. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically mentioning using the word qital, which means fighting. In some other places, it will be harb. So we should be very careful of that blanket generalization that jihad only means fighting. And unfortunately, people have gotten it wrong, because speaking in Islamic literature, when you say jihad, this is what you find. But the truth is that this is why scholars were more concerned about deriving rulings and regulations guiding what it takes before, you know, life is at stake. So a number of these rulings are like that. But what is most important is Quran never used jihad alone, or jihad to mean fighting alone. It could mean fighting, but rather Quran will prefer to use harb or qital, as we've seen in other verses.
So what I'm getting from both of you is that the Quranic meaning should not be overridden by the juristic meaning. The Quran and the Sunnah keep broad multiple meanings for the term jihad, but as you've elaborated, both of you, because of how serious warfare is as a form of jihad, the implications have legal consequences. Yeah. The justification to take a life. What kind of weapons are you allowed to use? What do you do with prisoners of war? When are you allowed to fight? Who should you fight? Who should you not fight?
Exactly.
How do you handle amnesty? In other words, that particular form of jihad where there's military engagement, need for permission of of the leader, a general, could easily be abused. What would be a war crime? So, you know, the nature of that particular form of jihad seems to have required special attention.
Yeah.
Compared to many of the others when it comes to jurist and law. And so that's why we find it probably more in the law books, whereas those concerned with tasawuf and purification of the heart would focus on another form of jihad instead. But picking on what you've touched on, that going back to the Quran, going back to the Sunnah and Hadith literature, what would you say is the best form of jihad? We've got a lot of Hadith and praise for jihad, but if we go strictly by the Quran and Sunnah, what would you say would be your response to somebody who says, okay, I've heard of all of this, what's the best form of jihad?
Okay, having said that, jihad could also include fighting or physical combat. Best form of jihad actually is relative, depending on the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in instances like this, is like somebody coming to seek his advice. He look at the person and his reality. So same thing with jihad. So, but the most important thing is whatever is more demanding, needs more effort, is a pressing need of a particular person or the ummah at that time, could be considered the best form of jihad. Or whatever will need extra effort and sacrifice. And that's why in some instances, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best form of jihad is to be frank to a tyrannical ruler. The best form of jihad will be to take care of your parents. The best form of jihad will be to go to Hajj. The best form of jihad will be to look after the widow and the poor. The best form of jihad could be.
So it depends on the person, the situation.
Yes. And in fact, in our own reality too, as Muslims, let's look at it now. What could be the best form of jihad? Sometimes the best form of jihad could be actually to take up arms and defend a Muslim community, to challenge an oppression or a tyrannical ruler, to fight for your peace and freedom like Muslim had it when the intimidation did not stop, even when they flee for their lives and religion to Medina. They had to we have to fight. In fact, Muslims were not even ready, but God encouraged them to fight. So the best form of jihad could take a number of things. When we look broadly into the ahadith of the Prophet, And again, looking at this ahadith, what they are showing us is, like I mentioned earlier, best form of jihad should not be restricted to even what is mentioned by the Prophet, but should be dictated by the context.
Mm.
And the most important it should be for the sake of God.
Mm.
Sincerely trying to be better, trying to improve, trying to, you know, challenge oppression, trying to free somebody that is under siege, trying to, you know, challenge a non-Muslim. In fact, the jihad can be against a Muslim. If a Muslim oppress another Muslim, Allah say, وَإِنْ تَعِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِهِدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخُرَى فَقَاتِلُوا. Even though some scholars will prefer to use the word buga, but Allah used فَقَاتِلُوا. If a group of Muslims try to like overshadow or suppress another Muslim and they refuse to come to terms of agreement for peace, Allah said the third party should fight the other Muslim. So you can see jihad could be...
bring them in line to
yes.
peace. Yeah.
In fact, in some ahadith, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and like Umar will say in some relations, narrations, that you even fight to defend a non-Muslim citizen. It's a jihad. So this is generally how we understand jihad and what will dictate what will be the best form of jihad. Because you could see that the Prophet was out for a battle. Somebody was seeking his permission to join. But the Prophet looked at his own reality and that, are your parents alive? And the Prophet will prefer you go back there. Quran at a point will say, if you are going out for a battle, it doesn't befit all of the believers to set forth for battle. Some others should set forth seeking for knowledge to protect and defend, nurture the ummah generally. So this is generally the broader understanding of how the best form of jihad should be viewed.
Salah, what would you add?
I'll add the fact that when we talk about jihad, there's one factor. It has to be fisabilillah. When we talk about striving in the way of Allah or striving in the cause of God, and we use the term fisabilillah, it's important to understand, so what does that mean? The striving that we do cannot actually be considered top form of striving if it's not in God's cause or in God's path or in God's way. God's way has to align with God's standard. It has to be the way that Allah has set out that we should do things. So whether it's military form of jihad or caring for one's family or some of the other forms that Brother Ibrahim mentioned, they have to be in line with what Allah wants, starting with sincere purpose. So even if somebody undertakes to go into battle and claims that it's for the sake of justice or to fight for the rights of the oppressed, the intention has to be sincerely for that purpose, not for domination or for some form of glory or acquisition of maybe wealth or power. Another factor that has to be there is justice, because that is what brings balance. As we discussed a few minutes ago, the jurists paid a lot of attention to the military form of jihad because of the sensitivity that this is about life and death. It's about the taking of life. And the taking of life has to be justified. If it's not just, it cannot be said to be jihad. Whatever it might be. It might be struggling, striving, fighting, activists, whatnot. If it does not meet that standard of justice, then it's not jihad. Another thing also is that even the methods have to be permissible. Because as we understand it from Islam, from the maxims, from the teaching, you might have a good intention. You might have a good outcome you want to accomplish. But the means of getting there has to be good as well. So the ways, the methods of jihad have to be permissible. Therefore, it's not sufficient to say, I'm fighting for justice, I'm fighting for the sake of the oppressed, or I'm fighting to force people, some people, to stop being aggressors, but your methods are themselves aggressive methods. They are not permissible. Lastly, the overall aim of any form of jihad, but particularly the military one where life is involved, the taking of life is involved, the overall aim has to be in line with what is known as the overall maqasid of Sharia of Islam, which is jalbul maswalih wa darul mafasid. It's to accrue benefit and to prevent harm. When these factors are in place, then we can say this form of jihad is at its best. When any of these factors are missing, the sincerity, the balance, the justice, the permissibility of the actions, the overall aim. When any of these factors are missing, then that particular action has, I would say, has been downgraded from being understood purely as jihad.
So we're looking at striving to realize any of the objectives or maqasid of Sharia.
Yes.
Is a jihad. And the means to realize that has to be fi sabilillah. It has to follow Allah's guidance.
Yes.
Not just the objective, but also the means, as you've mentioned. And because if we look at those essentials, the daruriyat, the primary objectives of Sharia, such as the protection of deen, the protection of life, and the protection of intellect and property, family, etc., dignity, we find people striving in each one of them. So for some, it would be justice and telling the truth. And that may be the best jihad for somebody who may be a lawyer or somebody who is a journalist. It may be somebody who is a soldier or a policeman, protecting the community from aggression of others. It may be a teacher or a student who wants to enhance the intellect that allows us to realize these other things. It may be a scholar who is learning and also sharing, as you've given, that even in the heat of battle, so while defending the community, the military form of jihad would be a priority for some people.
Yeah.
It's a fardu kifaya. It's a communal responsibility that some fulfill, but others should stay behind because there are other obligations to fulfill. And so what would be the greatest jihad for a mother may be different from that of a son or daughter, different from that of a husband, different from that of a doctor or a teacher or a student, or, you know, depends on the struggle.
If I may add, there's this quote, something Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi said when he was discussing this issue and juxtaposing the military form of jihad with the personal form of jihad. And he was saying that this military form of jihad is part of that personal form of jihad, meaning when you say you are fighting against the enemies of Allah, implying anybody who is going against or doing something that is clearly wrong, and you are undertaking to fight, to push them back, to defend yourself against that behavior. He says when you do this form of jihad, it's a part of that form of jihad where you are fighting against your own evil tendencies. When we look clearly, closely at what he's highlighting here, it's the sense that you can't say someone else is acting wrongly and you're fighting against that person for acting wrongly, or the person has attacked you and you want to fight back against their wrong behavior, when you yourself are a carrier of the wrong behavior. So he says this is this form, this military form, fighting against the outside, he calls it the enemy on the outside, is just a part of fighting against your evil tendencies. He then goes on to mention that it's impossible to succeed in that fight against the enemy on the outside if you haven't fought against the enemy on the inside. So that juxtaposition is really, really important for us to bear in mind. It's like you take the African saying that the hand that washes the cloth will become clean as a process, as a result of that process. But also that if the cloth you are using to wipe a surface is dirty, you can't expect that surface to become clean. So Ibn Qayyim here is not discountenancing the necessity sometimes of going to war, fighting a just war, a defensive battle. He's saying, however, that that battle, you can't succeed in that if internally you've not dealt with your own inner evil tendencies, your own weaknesses. Because as highlighted earlier, jihad means you're doing it in the way Allah wants. You have sincere purpose at hand. You are going to do it justly. If within yourself you are not fully aligned with what Allah wants, how on earth do you then do jihad? If within yourself you have issues to do with sincerity, how on earth do you then do jihad sincerely? If within yourself you are an unjust person, how do you actually say you want to do something just? It's like a corrupt leader saying he wants to deal with corruption. Like, how does that even work?
In other words, the greatest jihad is to ensure that whatever form of jihad you're doing remains fi sabilillah.
Yes.
That the sincerity of intention, which is an internal struggle,
yes,
is a prerequisite for Allah's acceptance of the external jihad, whether it is on the battlefield, whether it
or
is
anywhere else,
to a tyrannical leader, etc. I'd like to move on to the last question, which is to introduce the subject of how scholars have categorized jihad. Okay. So just for the sake of easy understanding, we have seen the Quran using the word jihad for various forms of good struggle and striving. We've seen the hadith applying it to different forms of service to the community and self-improvement. Could you introduce the subject in subsequent episodes? We will go more slowly through these, but how did classical scholars and even contemporary scholars go about categorizing and having some kind of a taxonomy for the diverse forms of jihad? Because jihad basically is every striving you do for good in every aspect of your life. How could we classify that for the purpose of discussion? What have scholars done here?
The scholars have followed the Quran and Sunnah, basically. They have split jihad into various forms. While the core of anything they classify as jihad, it's striving to enjoin good or to bring benefit, striving to prevent evil or to stop it or discourage it. All scholars, however they classify them, always put jihad by fighting as one of many forms of jihad. That's something they've done consistently, which is also consistent with the Quran and the Sunnah. So in their classifications, they have based their classifications on verses of the Quran and hadith, sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his actions. These are the things that informed their classification. So they have taken the same approach that we said we will adopt, inshallah, throughout the series, which is always going back to the root. Another thing to highlight here as an example is there's one of those well-known scholars, Sheikh Abdullah ibn Zayd, who said jihad can be by action or by speech. So one can look at a very broad classification that whatever your field or aspect of life you're striving in, you can either do it by taking action or by words. We can connect this broad classification to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, if you see something wrong, you can stop it. That's take action against it. He used the phrase, stop it with your hand, which is actually take some form of action. Or you can speak up against it. Or at the very least, you hate it in your heart, which takes us back to that jihad bin nafs. Another basis for this form of classification is to be found in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 52, where Allah talked about striving with the Quran, a beautiful striving. So Allah there uses the same root word of jihad, jahada, jahidu, and he says with it, which implies that, of course, one cannot say that therefore means taking action with the Quran. You're not going to be banging people on the head with the book itself. It naturally means that it's by speaking, by saying something, delivering the message, explaining it, reminding people with it, guiding, acting on it. So this is one of the forms of classification.
Ali Ibrahim, what would you add to this?
Yeah, like she mentioned, Quran actually categorized jihad into various forms. Typically, before we look at what some scholars say, you look at another verse in Quran, where Allah enjoined the Prophet, he said, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu jahidil kuffara wal munafiqin. Okay, struggle with the non-believers and the hypocrites. Scholars will say struggle with the non-believers, be safe when it is necessary. And then with munafiqun bil hujaj, intellectual debate and dialogue. So you can see that Quran itself used jihad here to mean more than one thing. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never fought or killed the hypocrites, even when he identified them.
Nor did he kill mushrikun who are not hostile. Yeah.
So it is more, jihad is more intellectual debate, like just to portray the verse she cited earlier, where Allah say, وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Now, a medieval scholar of the past, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi, in his book Zadul Ma'ad, categorized jihad into four, why he was introducing this topic of jihad. And that is interesting to know that even the word ijtihad has a root word jihad, which is juristic reasoning because it involves effort.
Mm-hmm.
So he said you have four categories. You have jihad and nafs, struggle to overcome your whims and caprices, you know, inside, like jihad and nafs, to be better, ego, temptations within. Then jihad with shaitan, fighting the enemy within now, which is Satan. Then the third one, he said, is jihadul kufar, the enemies outside. But he said the first two are prerequisites, as he mentioned earlier, to fighting al-kufar. And he mentioned also jihadul munafiqun. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi of recent memory, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. Look at it from a different perspective. He said you have jihadul askari, which is the military form of jihad, where people have to go fight to defend Islam, to fight operation, to, you know, quench hostility.
Defense and
all
of security
that. Defensive, exactly. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in Badr, in Uhud, in Khandaq, and all of what history has actually shown, particularly all the battles the Prophet participated in, including his clash with the Banu Qurayza and various groups of Jews. All these were jihad al-askari. Then you have jihad al-ruhi, which is more spiritual, personal development side of a thing, purification of a soul, that kind of trying to self-improvement. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, why he was saying, wal muhajir man hajara ma nahalla, wal mujahid man jahada nafsahu. You know that a muhajir is a person that abandon or forsake what Allah has forbidden. And then a mujahid is a person that struggle against his own whims and caprices. In another hadith, the Prophet said, Abdulul jihad, jihad wa nafs. This is the beginning. Then he said, you have jihad al-da'awi, which is jihad of inviting other people to Islam. You invite, you spread Islam, all efforts taken. Because the core essence of jihad shouldn't be misunderstood. It's about self-improvement. Okay? Fi sabilillah, to move Islam forward. For Muslims to have freedom. For people to be better. So these are the categories of jihad he is looking at, which you can see that they are closer to what Ibn al-Qayyim say, only that what he called jihad al-ruhiyah will be jihad al-shaytan and jihad al-nafs.
Mm.
So these are the categorization scholars have done to various forms of jihad.
And I think the diversity of opinions among scholars points to the fact that these classifications are products of juristic reasoning. It's the ijtihad of the scholar who is picking a particular criteria for determining how to classify the forms of struggle. And so, as you've already mentioned, some would look at it as some forms of jihad deal with hostile enemies, some are hostile insiders within the community, others require education and correction, teaching or da'wah, an intellectual argument. Other forms of jihad are internal, personal development, growth as a better person. How some scholars would use the framework of the hadith, whoever sees something wrong, correct it with your hand, if you can't with your tongue, if you can't with your heart, and look at that action, communication, and the internal self-improvement. Others would also look at the maqasid and the objectives of Sharia and say there's jihad when it comes to hifdhuddin, to do with the preservation and the promotion of religion. And there are those that deal with the preservation and promotion of life, and those that deal with preservation and promotion of the intellect and education, those to do with wealth, etc.
Yeah, like with other classifications. Classification are just meant to aid understanding.
Mm.
As long as you can prove where you are coming from with the classification, like they are not the key issues, rather. Mm. Another scholar can classify them into 10.
Mm.
But the most important thing is it fulfilling the intent of Sharia? Does it answer the questions of why? So this is generally why, like we say, scholars who didn't live in our time might necessarily not come up with some of the variety scholars of our time are coming from.
That's true.
Yeah.
New challenges come
exactly.
up. And new forms of jihad, therefore,
exactly.
will come up.
Exactly.
Most important, it should always be fi sabilillah,
yes.
seeking Allah's pleasure, done in the way Allah
once
it done.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your contributions, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.